We've been talking this morning, and really the essence of this entire day is about a legacy. It's about a legacy. 50 years of ministry is amazing, amazing. And I want to invite your attention over these next few minutes. I want to speak to you on the subject of receiving God's legacy. Receiving God's legacy. God wants every one of us to experience a legacy. We're here today to celebrate Pastor David's legacy in ministry. You know, I think it's incredible. I met the precious couple, lives in South Florida, that were a part of a youth ministry years ago in New York. And people don't just get in their car and drive 250 miles and take time out, spend the money, unless somebody has made a mark on their life. And the reality is this, the reason every one of us are here today is because Pastor David has made a mark on our life in some way, shape, or form. I was thinking, David, as those slides were playing, the first time I met you was at Wakaiva Assembly. You were a part of the leadership team there. And then we had had so many beautiful, beautiful times of fellowship through the years, and to watch all that God has done. And when I first got connected with Catalyst Church, and you all were searching for a pastor, and I just, as I prayed about it, I thought, I know just the right couple for you guys. I mean, just the right couple. And when I realized how many of you were from New York, it was an absolute confirmation. I thought, yes, we have imported just for you. So, and now to watch what God has done through the years is wonderful. But I want to invite you to the scripture this morning, Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 6 through 15. Amazing, amazing story of a man by the name of Caleb. It says, "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses." So he is now 85 years old. "While Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Now, David, you're not 85. I just want to go ahead and go on the record of saying that. You will be one day, but you're not there yet. Here I am," Caleb said, "85 years old. I am still as strong today as when Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." Come on. "You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man of the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the incredible grace on this moment. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. And I pray, Lord, in these next few minutes as we delve into your word, that, Lord, you would impart truth into our lives. I pray today may there be an impartation from heaven. Kiss us with your presence. Kiss us with your anointing, we pray. We thank you now for that in Jesus' name. And everyone shouts, amen. Amen. You know, today we celebrate not just 50 years of ministry. I think it's really important that we understand this. That, yes, while we appreciate the 50 years of ministry, it's a lot more than just celebrating 50 years of ministry. You know, 50 years of ministry, you know, can be just 50 years of endurance. You know, it can be just surviving rather than thriving. And yet the reality is this, that what God has in every single one of our lives is something that's far more than just enduring till the end. All right? God wants there to be a measure of excitement and life and thrill about the journey as well. And I can testify that that's been the story of David and Angela's life. There's been some thrill in the journey. We celebrate 50 years of answered prayer. We celebrate 50 years of fulfilled faith. We celebrate 50 years of a godly example, all for the glory of God. Can we just give the Lord appreciation one more time? The reality is this, that Dave, Pastor David, has been an example. He has lived this thing. He's the real deal, folks. You know that. He's the real deal. He has lived it out. And you can tell that. Because you look not only at his wife, but you look at his family. Here he's got a family. They're wanting to serve God. They're carrying out the mandate of the gospel. They're still loving Jesus with all their heart. There's not only his children, but now his grandchildren are being raised up in the ways of the Lord. The people who have been around him have a greater desire to follow Jesus, all because there is the real thing going on in Pastor David's heart and in his life. Yeah. You see, he becomes an example. And so what we're really celebrating today is not only what God has done in Pastor David's life, but also what he's doing in our lives. I love what Joel said as he was sharing earlier about the gift that Ephesians chapter 4 talks about, the gift of ministry that's given to the church. The reality is this, God loves you. He loved you so much that he gave you this gift in Pastor David. And he has been able to live the life teaching you both by example, by modeling before you, by instructing you in the word. And so you are blessed as a direct result. And so we're really celebrating God's faithfulness not only in Pastor David, but through Pastor David into our lives as well, because we've all been marked by the goodness of God through this man of God. Amen? Yeah, let's just give God thanks for that one more time. The truth is, we need examples. We need examples. We learn from those examples. When Jethro speaks to his son-in-law Moses, he tells him three things. He said, this is what you're to do. You're to teach them the laws and decrees. You're to show them the way to live and the duties that they're to perform. All of this comes from the leadership example that's been set before us. And so we need examples. We learn from those examples and we follow those examples. Parents, let me tell you something. Don't tell your kids what to do in following Christ. Live it out before him and your life will speak far louder than your mouth could ever speak. You want your kids to follow Jesus? Then you live the life, you prove the gospel in your testimony, and then when your mouth speaks, your kids will say, that makes sense to me. I've watched your life. That's why we need examples. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, follow my example as I follow Christ. In other words, follow me as I follow Christ. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. In other words, we can follow an example. A good example that has been set before us so that we can continue to walk out and prove our faith by the life of someone else, and then we find it in our own life. And this is the story of Caleb here. If you go back into the book of Numbers, you see a good bit more about Caleb and the kind of person he was. Here he was. In fact, it's in earlier on Numbers chapter 13, I believe it is, where Moses sends out some spies. You remember the spies that went out? They were coming in. The children of Israel were coming in to the land of promise. And Moses sends out some spies to go and to examine the land. And there were 12 spies, one from each tribe that was sent out. One of them was Joshua, but another one of those that was sent out was Caleb. He was one of the 12 that was sent out into the land. And these spies, they go out into the land, they looked at it, and they came back and they gave a report to Moses and to all the children of Israel. Was it a good land? Oh yeah, it's a good land. Is there fruit there? Yes. Huge bunches of grapes. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. That was the first part of the testimony, but he didn't stop there. The spies went on and says, but. You know you're in trouble whenever there's a but. Okay? And here comes the but. But there are giants in the land. There's trouble there. There's some problems there. We can't do anything to take that land. In fact, it was so bad that these giants are so awesome in their strength and power that we look like grasshoppers in our own sight, they said. In other words, they looked at the problem. They saw all the difficulty. They saw all of the issues that would be hurdles to get over rather than what God had promised to them. And it was so bad, the report that was so bad that it literally caused the hearts of the people who were poised to go in and take the land of promise. They were right at the edge, ready to take possession of what God had promised. It caused their hearts to melt with fear. And they drew back because of fear. And it cost them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So much so that every one of that generation, God said it this. He said, because you caused the hearts of the people to melt with fear, I swear. God says, I swear they will not enter in. They will not enter in. In other words, when we refuse to accept what God has said and we refuse to lay hold of what God has promised, we not only can miss the promise, we can end up in a far worse set of circumstances than we ever dreamt. You see, God not only wants you to bless you and bring you into fullness that He has destined you for, but God wants also to keep away from your life a lot of the things that could become destructive in your life. Here the children of Israel wandered for 40 long years until every single one of them that had left Egypt, except for two people, every one of them, except for two, Joshua and Caleb, all the rest of them died. Everyone under a certain age, they died in the wilderness, not receiving what God had promised. That says to me a lot. That says to me a lot. And when you drill down on the why question, it comes down, it's all said in Numbers 14, verse 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit the land. We're talking about legacy today. We're talking about receiving something from God that God has destined every one of us for. that God has positioned us for. God has a destiny for every one of you. God has a legacy for every single one of you in this room. Maybe it won't be a gathering just like this, but I will tell you this, if you will wholeheartedly follow the Lord, if you will position your heart to be a heart filled with faith and filled with a desire to obey God and to submit to what God says, there will be a group of people who will rise up and call you blessed as well and celebrate your life and your legacy. Yes, this was the case of Caleb. There were a people that had been around him and experienced just as he did, the same sets of circumstances. But the people that were with him, they had been to the land, they had seen the same things, they had heard the same words. Yet, Caleb got a hold of something that the rest of them missed. That means this, that you can be sitting in the same service where the anointing of God moves with power, where people can be greatly impacted and their lives transformed, and you can miss totally what God would have for you. I've been in those church services before. I've watched as God has moved and His glory has fallen on the lives of people, and there would be others that would sit there looking down their nose and judging everything that goes on. Totally oblivious to what God was wanting to do. Totally missing all that God had in store. I don't ever want to be numbered in that group. I want to be numbered among the people who were just like Caleb, who could say, we have a different way of viewing things. Now, I want to give you quickly this morning, and I want to move through this fairly fast, but I want to give you five characteristics this morning of those with a different spirit. Those with a different spirit. The reason Caleb came in and the others did not wasn't just because of what they did. It was because of who they were. You see, a spirit is from the core of who you are. That's why we need to be made new by the power of God. That's why we need to become new creations in Christ. That's why we need to lean in to what the Spirit of God would do in our life. I need the work of God in my life. I need a lot. Just ask my wife. She'll testify. He needs a lot. We all do. We need the work of God in our life. We need to be changed by the power of God. And so Caleb had a different spirit. The first thing I want to tell you this is those that have a different spirit see what others cannot. They see what others cannot. Here, Caleb goes in with these spies. He goes in with a group, 12 of them. All of them saw the same things, but Caleb was seeing something else. They were seeing all of the giants, and there were giants. I want to tell you something. Faith is not a denial of reality. Okay? Faith is not a denial of reality. It is a recognition of a greater reality. That's what faith is. Faith is not saying there are no problems. There are no giants there. There are no, there are no giants. That's not faith. That's stupidity. But true faith is seeing something greater than the problem. I will tell you this. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And if that's where it stopped, that wouldn't be good news. But it goes on to say, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You may have some problems in your life. You may have some challenges in your life. You may go through some difficulties in your life. But I'm here to testify today that the Lord is the greater one. He's bigger than the challenges. He's bigger than the problems. He's bigger than the giants. He is the one who is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of thanks. You see, people with a different spirit see what others can't see. Oh, they recognize the problems. They see the giants. And Caleb saw those giants. But he also said this, let's go up immediately because the Lord is with us and we can take the land. Hallelujah. You see, he didn't see the land just as a place filled with problems. He saw the land as a possession for God's people. He knew that God had given him a promise and that the greater one was with them and that the greater one would war with them. And in the end, the greater one would deliver into their hands every one of those giants. It's the same way in your life and in my life. Are we going to be men and women who understand that, yeah, there are some problems and difficulties in the circumstances of life. Anything that God ever tells us to do is going to be fraught with some challenges. But let me just go be quick to testify. Every single one of those challenges are only opportunities for God to show up and to prove himself mighty one more time. Hallelujah. So people of a different spirit see what others can't see. In other words, they have a vision that's different. They see different. They see different. They look at life different because they have a different spirit. The second thing I want you to see is this, that they believe when others doubt. People of a different spirit believe the word of God when others are doubting all around. When others not only are finding the problems, but also finding every reason. Have you ever met somebody like this that finds every reason why they can't accept what God has to say on a set of circumstances? Listen, I've been in situations through the years in ministry where people would, even good church people, but they will argue with you all day long about why God won't do what God's word says he'll do. Don't surround yourself with people who are always arguing about what God won't do. Surround yourself with people who are quick to say, listen, I may never have seen it, but if God's word says it, I'll accept it and I'll run with it and we'll see the glory of the Lord. You see, people of a different spirit believe. They're men and women of faith. They're men and women of faith. There's something in them. There's something that's quick to connect with the Word of God. Something that's quick to connect with what they know in their heart of hearts God wants to do. And it doesn't mean that life is always simple. I mean, the Bible doesn't say to fight the good fight of faith without reason. There's some things you have to war for. There's some things you have to press in for. But I will tell you this, nobody that has ever fought in faith and won in faith and seen a victory in faith will ever go back to living the life of doubt again. You know, they've come too late. All right? The doubters have come too late. I've already seen the faithfulness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord, listen to this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. In other words, God is constantly on the look. He's looking all over the earth. And He's looking for a particular kind of man or woman. He's looking for somebody that will be a man or woman who will dare to believe what he says, who will dare to accept his word at face value, who will dare to step out in active obedience and take some steps of faith to see that promise become reality. That's what God wants. God wants it in your life. God wants it in my life. And I dare testify today that Pastor David, throughout the years, has seen it again and again and again. You see, not only do people with a different spirit see what others can't see, they believe when others are doubting. Three, they persevere when others quit. Not only do they see different, and not only do they believe different, but they act different. Yeah, people of a different spirit act different. You see, faith needs some perseverance. These people had been in slavery now for 40 years. They had gone through the Egyptian, they've been in slavery in Egypt, and now they've been in a wilderness for 40 years. How many of you know it's sometimes easy to get distracted by your own circumstances and end up giving up on what God has promised? I remember, I'll say this. I remember years ago when Sandy and I were pastoring, the first time at what is now One Church. And I remember some prophetic words that we got. This is 30 years ago, I go. Over 30 years ago. That we had gotten some prophetic words. And then through a long set of circumstances, we had left, we were no longer there, and almost, there was, in the natural, there was no way that it would ever be carried out. Or so we thought. I remember that there were prophecies about us raising up and planting churches. I remember there were prophecies about us having pastors all over the region. I remember all of the prophetic words that were given. And then came my set of circumstances that seemed to be completely contradictory to the prophetic word. Have you ever been in that set of circumstances? You know, where God gives you a word. And then the word that God gives you, your circumstances don't seem to be complying. Uh-huh. And so it's over 30 years later. We would have never, ever thought in the natural. We remember holding on to those words. And I remember we had written those words out. We still read them. Yeah. Hold on to them. Bible tells us to fight for those prophetic words that were given them. You know, hold on to them. And I remember we read them. How would this happen? How would this happen? Yet the reality of it is, fast forward now to today, we are seeing God carry out every single thing He promised. I can just go down the list and go check, 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 check. Why? You persevere. You persevere. You know, it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. And sometimes you have to just dig in. Faith needs to persevere. Caleb had been in slavery in Egypt. He had been walking in the wilderness for 40 years. In the midst of the campfire of negativity. Can you imagine those conversations each night around those campfires in the wilderness? And for 40 years he had been experiencing that. At least 10 instances in the scriptures of murmuring, complaining. But perseverance comes because we see what God sees. You see, faith is this thing that grips your spirit. It grips you at your cords. I don't care what my circumstances look like. I don't care what the natural may be saying. I am standing not in denial of the natural, but in total acceptance of the supernatural. And when I recognize the supernatural, it supersedes my natural, and my natural submits to the supernatural. Hallelujah. Those with a different spirit live in that arena. Those with a different spirit speak success when others speak failure. Not only do they see different and believe different and act different, they talk different. They talk different. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen, faith shows up on your lips. You want to know what's in your heart? Just listen to your mouth. You know, you can talk all day, I'm a great man of faith and power. Okay, what comes out of you when you get shook? What comes out of your mouth when things aren't going the way you want to see them go? You know what's in you. Uh-huh. You know what's in you because of what's coming out. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if doubt and unbelief comes flying out your lips, it's because doubt and unbelief are right down here. Okay? Don't argue with it. Recognize it and deal with it. My heart's not right. My spirit's not right. I need to get more of this on the inside of me. And I need to be extending and accepting what God has to say about my situation. You see, they speak success when others are speaking failure. All of these other spies, 10 of them come back with nothing but a bad report, filled with doubt, filled with unbelief. But Caleb said, he quieted them down. Shut up. Quit it. Let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. You see, that's what a person with a different spirit is like.
Yeah,
that's true. They talk different. People with a different spirit look out here at a piece of land and say, I see a building on it. I see a building on it. I not only see a building on it, I see that building paid for. People with a different spirit, they not only see the building built and building paid for, but they see the building overflowing with people. People of a different spirit are seeing people who don't know Jesus coming to know Jesus, continuing. And let me tell you, when you begin to see it and you begin to speak it and you begin to declare it, you'll begin to walk in it. Hallelujah. That's what God wants. God wants us to speak success. Declare blessing. Declare it. And then number 5. People of a different spirit not only see different, not only believe different, act different, and talk different. They live different. They live different. They are warriors when others are cowards. They're warriors when others are... I love this about Caleb. 85. 85. Now, come on. You know what that says to me? You may have some years, but you don't have to be old. There's a big difference between being experienced and being old. You know, like that insurance commercial? It says, we know a few things because we've seen a few things. We know a few things. We've got a few years under our belt. We've been through a few things. Let me tell you, we've seen the power of God. We've seen the glory of God. We've seen some problems, and yet we've seen God show up and bring some solutions. Uh-huh. Yeah. We're not going to grow old and just be somebody who's put out to pasture. No, sir. No, sir. We may get some years under our belt. We may have had some time tick away and a few more birthdays. Yeah. But let me tell you something. The only thing that says is we've got more experience in the power of God. We've seen more of the glory of God. We've got more stories to tell than you can shake a stick at, because we've been with God and we've seen the power of God. I love to gather my young pastors around and I begin to tell them stories about what I've watched God do. I begin to tell them stories of the faithfulness of God when we didn't know what to do, but God showed up and God gave us an answer and God gave us a miracle. If we want to impart something into the next generation, listen to me, church, let's impart faith of what we've watched God do, what we've seen God again and again and prove out of His Word. And we become those who have imparted not only faith into them, but we've also built and established a legacy for the glory of God. Yeah. I don't want to be content to be average or commonplace. You know, Caleb, he lived different. He lived different. He was not content with the average. He never thought in terms of comfort. You know, here it is. I'm 85 now. I've seen God a few times, but I think I'm just going to quit and park it up. Leave it to somebody else. What is he saying? He's saying God is still with me. God is still with me. There's a mountain. Give it to me. Give it to me. The same God that brought strength to me when I was 40 years old is still bringing strength to me today at 85. And I'm ready to go in and I'm ready to overthrow the enemies of my God, and I'm ready to establish the promises of God and receive my inheritance for the glory of God. Let me challenge you as I close. You see, God's called us to receive a legacy. Every one of us are called to have a legacy. But if we are going to have a legacy, it's going to be because we live our life with a different kind of spirit. We're going to be people who see different, who believe different, who act different, who talk different, and who live out our lives different, all for the glory of God. And I will tell you, there are people all around who are watching you. They're watching, what kind of believer are you? What kind of leader are you? What kind of individual? You say Jesus has made a difference in your life. Let me see the difference in your life by the way you see and believe and act and walk and talk. Let me test. I'll test and see if it's real. God's called us to something. God has called us to something. When I look up and down the I-4 corridor, I don't see a area that's becoming more and more worldly. When I look up and down the I-4 corridor, I see a place that's just waiting for the expansion of the kingdom of God. I see hundreds of thousands of people. Listen to me. When I read the demographic statistics, 1,000 new people a day moving into Central Florida. I don't look at that and say, man, we got a big problem. We got a big opportunity. Is somebody going to run with me? And let's see the kingdom of God built and established. And let's see the glory of the Lord sweeping up and down the I-4 corridor, all for the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Would you stand to your feet and let's give God praise today. Father, we thank you today for your living eternal word. We are men and women of a different spirit. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And we are not going back to live lives of unbelief and doubt and discouragement and defeat. We are pressing on, living lives of courageous faith for the glory of God, living and experiencing the blessing and the favor of God every day of our lives. And we give you thanks and praise now for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.